talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue.
Welcome back to the second hour. Matt Flynn Direct coming to you statewide on Civic Media, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon lots of other places. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. You're going right back to the phone lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Well, good morning, Matt. I hope you had a relaxing, hopeful weekend, celebrating people in the labor, who have did a lot for our country, and boy, we need them now more than we ever did, and well, we need them now significantly. I am just disgusted about that person that was put in that judge position, and I don't know who in our country can protest this. I would hope that all of the licensed lawyers and those who know the law better than we, and also who are in better standing than we, to be able to write letters or whatever they can do to have this lawyer or this judge investigated. This is outrageous. This is causing problems with the investigation, and we need this investigation completed as soon as possible. Because if we allow all of this to happen, we have seen the destruction in our country beyond belief. And I know a lot of people who are aware of everything that's going on, but people can look in their own lives. Let's see. Now, vaccinate, not vaccinate. When we were vaccinated, oh my gosh, don't wear a mask, you'll get beat up. Don't get a vaccine, you'll be shunned. Don't say any negatives about any Republican, or you'll probably be jailed. No, you won't be jailed, but you will be shunned or probably beat up. People getting massacred. I mean, this is just nuts with the guns, with the weapons of war, which need to be off our streets. Well, anyway, I just want to say one thing about the upcoming election, and that is any Republican that has tried to protect our country, like those who were in the investigation, the Russian influence on the election, those were honest, hardworking, dedicated Republican folks who worked for our country for many years that tried to alert the public. They went to legislators and said, this is what this man is doing on alert. They weren't playing games. They weren't playing politics. They were outright concerned with what was going on in Ukraine. And what did those people who were loyal to the king do but trash their reputations, threaten them? I mean, those people were trash for life, and those people were honorable and really should be gotten medals right after this happened when they came out and told that truth. Look at the few Republicans amid scrutiny, amid death threats, that voted to impeach Trump. They didn't get reelected, most of them. They were trash, but they stood out there for us, for Republicans, right, for independents, right, for Democrats. And what happened to them? They were emotionally beaten up, and maybe we don't know what happens to them in the future. What? And then anybody that happens to be in office now, they don't dare say one word about that guy. Not one word. And they won't. But then who is there to protect the American people? Hey, folks, we're under attack in our country. This is significant because that guy don't care about the law. He don't care about anybody else. He attacks our FBI. And then he went after people in those positions. He went after DOJ people and got them out of there.
Right. So, well, you know, Gene, not only that, the judge that signed the search warrant, he attacked, and the guy got death threats, and he worshipped at a synagogue that had to close for a weekend because of death threats, and no prosecutions over this. Trump is a fascist leader. This judge in Florida, this was a corrupt decision. It has no basis in law whatsoever. And I'm going to say again, the Republican Party is using unelected means and unelected people to destroy our democracy, because that judge is not elected. And nevertheless, she moved her courtroom to accommodate Trump from an hour away from Mar-a-Lago to West Palm, a few miles from Mar-a-Lago. And she put an injunction on the criminal investigation itself, which is unlawful and unconstitutional. But it has to be overturned on appeal. And there are Trump-appointed judges in the Court of Appeals. And Trump has a majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. This is what is happening. And it's happening in gerrymandered state legislatures that are forbidding certain referenda and certain ballot questions that have almost a million signatures. We have got to stand up to this. We're going to the next caller, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joe?
Thanks again, Matt, for returning to the issue of unelected people, unelected means, determining where we're going in our country's future, particularly on this issue that so affects our national security. We don't know what Trump has done to national secrets, and to have a delay of, what I have seen is that people have roundly the law professors have roundly panned this decision on this woman's part. It was laughable is what they said. The words they used were laughable, that this was a laughable decision. Nonetheless, we have to deal with this from this unelected judge appointed by Trump and how it affects our national security. I had actually called to talk a bit more about Ron Johnson, and just to remind people, you had said in the previous one of the previous segments that people respond to visuals, and oftentimes people get lost in just that and don't realize what's underneath that. And I would add to that, Ron Johnson's continuing quest. He reiterated that he does support his idea of taking Medicare and Social Security and putting them in a discretionary category every year for funding. I would add to that, think about that word, discretionary, discreet. It sounds nice. It sounds really sensible. You look at things every year and you decide. What we are looking at, and the visual for that would be, here's your paycheck, or here's your check from Social Security, which you've paid into for decades, cut it in half. That's what's going to happen this year, is it will be cut in half because Ron Johnson believes that you shouldn't get money this year from your Social Security, your Medicare. You need that image in people's mind as to what exactly this guy is talking about. It's an image that needs to be in there of take the amount of money. Let's say you're getting $1,200, you get $600. Let's say you're getting $2,000, you get $1,000. People plan their budgets for their elderly years with the linchpin of Social Security, something that they've paid into for decades. That is the way that project works, and it has worked since the New Deal. They've never missed a payment since the New Deal, since its inception. So thanks a lot for what you're doing, Matt, and I think this idea of pointing out unelected people determining our future and the reliance that we have on visuals and the difficulty of putting some policy questions into a sharp little visual in order for people to understand what is meant by discretionary funding of a program like Social Security. Thanks, Matt. I'll take your response off air.
Thanks very much, Joe. That was a mouthful, and I'm going to respond to it. First, I'm going to take one more call from Paul of Waukesha, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Paul?
Yes, I want to talk about the hypocrisy. Back during the Clinton years, his defense secretary was convicted of taking classified information from the National Archives. Hillary Clinton destroyed a laptop that classified information. Talking about threatening judges, wasn't a man caught with a gun outside of that one Supreme Kavanaugh's house with a weapon? While his family was in there, threatened repeatedly. Nothing was done. The left is so full of hypocrisy, it's not even funny. And once again, I'm going to ask you, how is the Inflation Act going to reduce inflation? I tried to ask this several times to get an answer, and nobody wants to answer that.
Okay, great. I'll answer everything you just said very quickly. One, Hillary Clinton didn't destroy any laptops, and it's laughable to compare the whole idea about Hillary Clinton with having some documents on her private server that were never accessed by the public, never accessed by pool boys walking into a storeroom, were not on the floor of a closet or the floor of the bridal suite dressing room over a ballroom, and there were no empty folders that they couldn't identify. Jeb Bush had also used his like that, and that is an entirely different thing. When it came to the guy who threatened Kavanaugh, he wasn't a Democrat. There weren't Democrats who did that. The guy was a nut. He was arrested, and he should go to prison for a long time. What happened with Trump is he threatened personally Judge Reinhart in Florida. He threatened the Fannie Willis, the DA in Atlanta, for the investigation. He'd say things like, well, you know what to do. It's a racist thing against me. Trump is making the threats. Your analogy would be correct if it had been Nancy Pelosi threatening, if she'd been out there with a gun or threatening him. That wasn't the true. That isn't what happened. The problem is this. The problem is that when Trump and the Republicans shoot their mouth off about violence, that is something you can't control. It's like a fire. An arsonist, Trump is an arsonist. He throws a match on the gasoline. He cannot control where that fire goes. That is the problem, Paul. There is hypocrisy. And listen, there is hypocrisy in the Republican Party. There is hypocrisy saying defund the FBI. And by the way, it's the Democrats who wanted to fund the police when they put $500 million more than the Republicans did. That's hypocrisy. Now, human nature is human nature, and nobody is exempt from hypocrisy. And so I'm not getting on a high horse, but I'm saying that there's a difference between the violent wing of the Trump part of the Republican Party and the mainstream Republican Party. People like John Boehner, Paul Ryan, and Tommy Thompson are fine. They're terrific. They really are. Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. But there is a violent wing, and there is not right now a violent wing that's speaking for the Democratic Party. Listen, the lines are alive. We're going to a break. Do not hang up. I see you. I'll get back to you right after the break. Going to a short break, 844-967-2789. Right back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. I'm starting to think the Federalist Society membership means judges are unqualified. You look at the lack of legal understanding from this judge in the Mar-a-Lago case. Or even the Supreme Court. Look at some of these people that have been put on the bench. You know, throw precedent out the window, throw the rule of law out the window, decide cases merely on opinion, twist yourself into some kind of pretzel logic-wise to justify the outcome that you already want. It's almost a disqualification at this point when you look at people that are part of that society. And the political activism going on. They used to always talk about activists from the bench. And, you know, I think we're seeing it in plain sight now. That's what they wanted to do for a long time, and, it, you know, it's coming to pass. People like your last caller need to wake the hell up. Stop, turn off their propaganda network. Read a newspaper, read a book, pay attention to another network, and educate themselves. You know, these people are taking rights away. They're taking rights away, forcing birth on women, on reproductive health issues. They're taking rights away at the ballot box. You know, you have these people that are involved in light treason, like Ron Johnson. And on top of it, to boot, you know, they're trying to take away Medicare and Social Security. So I don't understand why these people lack critical thinking skills. You're worried about inflation? What about your right to vote? What about your right to say what you want? You know, we don't agree with what some of their positions are, but be a very different world if these guys fully take a grasp on power. So I hope people understand that when they vote for these guys, they're voting for corruption, extremism, lawlessness, and incompetence. That's what we're getting from the Republican Party these days, the MAGA wing. So thanks, Matt.
Well said, Robert. Well said. Yeah, and I want to further respond a little to Paul of Waukesha and Joe of Madison. Paul of Waukesha, he asked me another question about inflation. How does the Inflation Reduction Act reduce inflation? Well, it's very, very simple. First of all, it has a lot in there that has nothing to do with inflation. It has much in there having to do with arresting climate change. But there are a couple of things in there that will reduce inflation simply because it will reduce government expenditures. One of them is giving the right to the federal government to negotiate pharmaceutical prices with pharmaceutical providers, the companies. You know, any big company, any insurance plan in the country, if you're going to go and you're going to buy 1 million statin pills, and they say to you, each statin pill is $10, you say, I'm buying 1 million of them for Pete's sake. Give me them for $3, and then you agree on $5, you know, that kind of thing. Well, here, what we buy as a government dwarfs any insurance company, any company. And the Republicans snuck in a provision that said we can't negotiate bulk discounts. That costs hundreds of billions of dollars. So, Paul, one way to reduce inflation is reduce that expenditure. Another one is we are adding forensic accountants and forensic lawyers to the IRS to investigate tax fraud and to investigate tax underpayments. And those amounts are expected to harvest about $1 trillion. That's with a T, not a B, $1 trillion. And by reducing that, reducing that fraud and underpayment and adding that to revenues reduces the debt. So in that respect, it's going to help inflation. Secondly, remember something. Inflation is not the fault of any government in the world. It's nationwide. Every government in the world, there are what, 170 or so governments in the world? Suffering inflation. The United States is doing a better job under Biden, better than the UK. The UK inflation is something like 10%. Here it's a couple of points lower, quite a bit lower than that. And also gas prices have come from $5 a gallon to three something. So look, nothing's perfect, but Joe Biden's doing a pretty darn good job. And as far as Joe is concerned about it is important to point out with Ron Johnson, and Joe Biden pointed out in his speech at Labor Fest over the weekend, and he said, look, the Republican platform, so to speak, they don't call it a platform, but it's their game plan for this election, put out by this fellow Scott of Florida, is that you will reevaluate Social Security every 5 years. Johnson wants to reevaluate it on a discretionary basis every year, see how much is left over. Well, after tax cuts and everything, there won't be enough left over to fully fund it. And yet you paid money into it, and it's never missed a payment since it was set up in 1935. So this is a very serious thing. A lot of people depend on Social Security in whole or in part for their income in their old age. Go to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend, thanks for calling. We have a few minutes to the break. What's in your mind today, Gary?
I want to make a comment on what Robert said. I think Robert's living in a different world himself. The thing is, he's right about one thing, is when you listen to the radio or TV, it's all propaganda. But the thing is, what he doesn't understand is propaganda on both sides. I listen to Fox. I listen to CNN, MSNBC. I do watch all of them. I don't think Robert does. So in the real world, I understand that things are going to be portrayed the way you want to hear it. If you don't listen to other people, you're never going to believe that there's, you know, maybe there is what Hillary did was smash her computer, goes out there and takes all the cell phones and bleaches them out, takes the cards out and destroys them. The only reason she's not in prison right now is because Comey went out there and said, well, I don't believe she intended on doing anything criminal. Now, you can't have secret stuff, and nobody knows. You don't, and I don't.
Gary, I'd love to talk some more. We're being forced to a break right now. I'm going to respond to that segment of what you said. I think it's important. I don't agree with you, but you said it in a deliberate way. You're a principled conservative. I like having you call. I encourage you to keep calling in the future, and I will respond to you after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to further respond to Gary of Sussex. Gary of Sussex talked about Hillary Clinton and a bunch of other things. Gary, here's the deal. What Hillary Clinton did is not comparable to what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump stole the top secret eyes only. It's called information that can only be seen by a few people and has to be in a secure place. Hillary had documents on her private server that were technically classified. No one accessed them. They were not in a storeroom near in a resort. They weren't on the floor of the dressing room of a bridal suite over the ballroom. They were not on the closet floor. There were no empty folders that showed intent to hide them somewhere else or anything of that nature. She did not scrub or bleach anything. That would have been evidence of intent. If you destroy evidence, that in itself is presumptively evidence of intent. The other thing about Comey is, at the same time, Comey was investigating Donald Trump for collusion with the Ruskies. He had gotten together with the Ruskies. He'd given them his polling data. He had colluded with the Ruskies. And that's Putin. They changed the, and nobody remembers this, but they changed the Republican platform at the convention. The Republican platform, the convention was pro-Ukraine. They changed that to be more pro-Russian because Paul Manafort was the chairman now of Trump's campaign, and he was on the take getting $10 million from the Russian stooge that had been stuck in to run Ukraine at the time. All of this, they were investigating, and the clown Comey, the corrupt individual himself, the clown Comey, comes out and he says he's investigating one of the presidential candidates, but he doesn't say he's investigating the other one. The clown Comey tipped that election because, for instance, Hillary lost Michigan by 10,000 votes. If the clown had not done that, could she have picked up 5,000 of those voters, given her the majority in Michigan? I think so. The same in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. So he is a... sorry figure. I don't even like speaking his name, but I don't want to be hearing about somehow Hillary. The Republican Party then gave us Trump, who is a traitor and has betrayed us, absolutely betrayed us to the Ruskies and to Putin. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
You're just kind of repeating what I wanted to say. I am sick and tired of hearing about a couple of things from the Republicans. One, Hillary. She's not running for president. That was in the past, and she voluntarily testified. So let's put that to sleep. Number two, the Great Depression or recession we're going through. My grandson's been out of high school 1 year. He decided he's not going to college right away. He's been offered three great jobs. He thought we were in a recession. I said, how can you be in a recession if you're offered that many jobs? And they pay well. The one he's in now pays health care, you name it, 401k, a great hourly rate. He's going to make a little under $100,000 this year. He's 19. So there's this recession, depression, inflation. I'm sick of it. And the last thing, in the border, the so-called Christians, the mega Christians, this is what God said in the Bible. Until you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's enough. They think they're funny by shipping them to Chicago, and they can't believe Chicago and New York welcomes them. It just blows their mind. They can't believe that somebody, a compassionate country, would handle these people. These people are going nowhere. They have no plan. And when Biden calls them the mega Republicans, that's what we have to refer to them as, because Liz and Adam and a bunch of the others, they're not buying this crap show. So thank you for speaking my piece. I hope you had a great weekend, and I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, excellent comments, Bill, as always. And no, you're absolutely right. Not just Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but, you know, Paul Ryan and John Boehner and a heck of a lot of other people, Tommy Thompson. There is a Republican Party that we absolutely need. We need a center-right party, and we need a center-left party. And, you know, Biden clarified over the weekend in his speeches, and he didn't even have to clarify when he was asked, there's a violent wing, the Trump wing of the Republican Party, that has nothing to do with the traditional Republican Party, nothing to do with it whatsoever. But they hijacked the name Republican. So I think that when we're talking like this, it's got to be clear. We want a center-right and a center-left party that's honest and pro-American. And pro-American means not sucking up to Putin, people of that nature. Thanks very much, as always, for calling, Bill. Mark of the Sack, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling, Mark of the Sack. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. It's just kind of sad that how far the Republican Party has dropped. But let's face it. I mean, that this has been in the works for quite a while now. Let's remember Scott Walker, you know, that sacrificed so much of Wisconsin's prosperity to his dreams of being president of the United States. The opportunity lost cost that Scott Walker generated in the state by giving up on the high-speed rail, giving up on the broadband money we should have had back in 2011 to improve the infrastructure in this state, is just a symptom of what's gone wrong in a good portion of our political system, where we have a judge in Florida willing to overlook potential treason on the part of a former president of the United States, you know, to serve his interest and to serve the interest of her fellow Republicans. I mean, she's supposed to not be a politician at this point in time. She's, her loyalty now is supposed to be to the law and to the Constitution, and she's failed on both. I mean, that she is just simply, she should be removed, because, you know, there's this, you know, provision in the Constitution that judges serve and during times of good behavior. Well, she certainly is not exhibiting good behavior in this case. I mean, this is not a matter of opinion. This is just a matter of, as you mentioned, that she has openly ignored the law in, you know, that taking this case in the first place. She really doesn't have jurisdiction over this case.
Right. Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. And, you know, by the way, there is a way to get rid of her, and that's impeachment. It's just like a president. A federal judge can be impeached, and some have. But that takes a majority of the House of Representatives. Pelosi could do it. But unfortunately, it takes two-thirds of the Senate. That's 67. And there are not 17 Republican votes to get rid of her. That's the problem. And that's when I say, and I'm going to say it again, the Republican Party is using non-democratic, non-elected means to destroy your right to vote and to destroy democracy. And that's the federal judiciary. When Trump is in there, it's executive decisions and so on, when he was in there before. And that's what's happening. Wisco Paul, my friend, you are next. Thanks for calling us from my day, Wisco Paul.
Good morning, man. I was originally going to call and talk about Labor Day, which was awesome. Day for labor. Biden is pro-labor, by the way. Great speech on Monday. But, you know, listeners, understand something about Gary. Him and me have been calling into the station about the same time. But he went on record earlier in the year. He voted for Trump twice, and he said he would vote for him again if DeSantis was not his man. So he would still vote for Trump. So whatever Gary says, take with a grain of salt. And I'm sick of the Hillary thing also. You know, it's more what about Hillary never tried to overthrow the electorate. She was Comey cost her the election. That's all I'm going to. I'm not going to go there anymore. But I am sick of this what about Hillary stuff. You know, she didn't whine like a little baby, and she testified before Congress. So anyway, Gary, get some new material. But great Labor Day. The only thing I would say about it, Matt, I wish Mandela Barnes would have been there, but he was down in Racine. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Well, first of all, Tony Evers was there, and Tony introduced Biden, so that's very good. And Tony was right on. You know, they said, why were you there? He said, look, he's the president of the United States. That's a very big deal. I'm very proud and honored to be able to introduce him. I think Mandela Barnes, you know, he had advice from some of his campaign people, and they're attacking him sort of viciously. I do not think we are doing a good job or a sufficient job. I mean, we're doing an issue job on things like Social Security and everything, but they're attacking Mandela personally, his character, and we're not attacking Johnson. We could easily put up pictures of him and Putin together, and it's a lot more real than what they're doing with Mandela. We don't do that kind of stuff. So I think that for some reason, he was, by the way, at the Labor Day parade. He was there shaking hands with everybody, but then for whatever reason, he decided to be elsewhere, and that's fine too. But these sorts of things go on in campaigns. I think they're pretty meaningless by and large. Now, I want to then get to Biden's speech. Biden gave a speech here in Milwaukee, and then he gave a speech in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. These are two of the third really swing state is Michigan, but Michigan looks pretty good for Biden. But Wisconsin and Pennsylvania can be the ballgame. Biden's been in Pennsylvania three times in the last week, for Pete's sake. Now, let me give you an example. Biden's speech, I watched it here in Milwaukee, was terrific. It was very pro-union. Biden has always been the union candidate. This goes back to 1972 in Delaware when he ran the first time. And folks in the AFL-CIO and all unions are very comfortable with Biden. He's been a very, very strong advocate for labor. And one of the things he says is very simple. He says the middle class built America and unions built the middle class. You can't argue with that. It's true. What have the Republicans done? They passed right to work to injure unions. And then Johnson, this is unbelievable. You know what he did? He came out with a statement after Biden was there saying, I'm the union candidate. He supports right to work. He supports anti-union. And the clown comes out and says such a thing. He says such a thing. But I'll tell you what, Biden did a couple of things. One with Johnson, it picks up on what Joe Madison had called in earlier. Biden said, you know, look, the Republican Party and its game plan, you can YouTube it. Go ahead and YouTube it. Republican Party game plan. It came out of Rick Scott, Florida senator, the chairman of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee. We should repass Social Security every 5 years. Well, that was Rick Scott and the Republican Party, which would be a disaster. Johnson said every year. Let me tell you something. There's always going to be a deficit. There's always going to be some kind of a deficit. So say, well, we'll balance it by taking $500 billion out of Social, $800 billion. What that'll mean is, as Joe said, you have a $2,000 check, it'll be $1,200. You have $1,000, it'll be $600. And then it might go up $100 next year. And not, you can't budget on that. You paid into this. And this is actuarial, because some people die before they collect Social Security, and some only collect it for a year or two, and some collect it for decades. Okay, it's actuarial. It's scientific. They should not use that to give tax cuts that end up 80% or 90% benefit the top 1% in this country. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And Biden hit that very strong. And the other thing he hit, which was great, there was a heckler, some guy in a suit shouting at him about Hillary and all this. And I agree with Paul, Wisco Paul. Get new material, guys. You know, if you have a comic that shows up and does stand-up and uses the same jokes, after a while, people boo. Get new material. Come on, get out of here. Anyway, this clown gets up and is yelling at him. And now there's a union crowd. There are steel workers in that crowd. They're machinists. They're not going to put up with this. And no, Biden said, no, don't touch him. Don't hit him. Let him be. Let him be. Quote, everybody has a right to be an idiot, end quote. But the point is, Trump said, beat him up and I'll pay your attorney's fees. Trump said, beat him up and I'll turn your attorney's fees. He had a heckler and one of his securities punched him in the face. Trump is violent. Biden is not violent. Biden believes in a democracy, and Biden is a great president. And he gave a great, great speech in Milwaukee and in Pittsburgh, very pro-union. very pro-democracy. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You babes are talking about your Madison shoes. We got a thing we call the Madison Blues.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let's get a little humor in this. Not that there's a lot to laugh at. This is an unbelievable story, again, about Trump. Trump once, you know, Trump is a hard time hiring lawyers because he stiffs lawyers. He's known as a attorney stiffer. That's his nickname, he's attorney stiffer. And these guys, you know, they'll run up bills for the guy. Giuliani still is owed millions of dollars, and Trump hasn't paid him. And somehow he's like a Svengali. He casts his spell on these guys. But anyway, there was a one lawyer at one of these big firms that he owed a couple of million dollars to and kept stiffing him. And the guy showed up unannounced at his office one time. And he owed him $2 million, and he said, pay up. And Trump said, wait a minute, I have something better than that. He said, I have a stallion. Try to pay him with a horse. He said, I have a stallion with $5 million. He pulls out of a drawer a deed, what says deed to a horse. It says, this is worth $5 million, and I'll, here it is, here's the deed. And the guy goes, hey, listen, this isn't the 1800s. You can't pay me with a horse. And then he kept berating him, and finally he got partially paid or something. But you know, there's no such thing as a deed to a horse. You can give somebody a bill of sale to show you didn't steal it. Or you can say, I want to sell you my horse. But unless it's a champion that you use for stud, and that can go for millions, and this wasn't that. Or unless, I don't know, you have a farm or something, you actually need a horse, and it ain't worth $5 million. But this guy is unbelievable. He stiffs them up the wazoo, and then when they come nab him, he says, I have a stallion. He calls it a stallion. There's a picture of the horse. It says, deed to the horse. I mean, this guy, he was president of the United States. I don't know how this happened. I really do not know how this happened. But I'll tell you what, we're not alone in weird stuff. And I want to talk about the UK, the prime minister election. The UK, ally of ours, old ally, not the oldest ally. The oldest is France. They support us in the Revolutionary War against the British. And the British, in the War of 1812, burned the White House down and occupied Washington, believe it or not. And then in the Civil War, they sided with the South. But they came correct with some respect late in the 19th century. And by the First World War, we were on the same side. Anyway, a woman named Liz Truss just was elected in the UK. And you may say, oh, great, the people of the UK won her. Well, no, here's how it works over there. They're not a democracy. And they're not a republic in the sense that they're not a direct democracy. The ruling party picks the president, the prime minister, and the rule, and there's a monarchy that's inherited. You have to be in the bloodline. But so Liz Truss, initially, I don't know, a lot of people ran for it. But the people who narrowed it down to two, so it's kind of like a primary, were about 380 members of parliament. That's it. It would be as if whichever party had the majority in Congress, and now it would be the Democrats, 10 people would run, and the Democrats in the House and the Senate would pick who the final two were. And then it goes to another month of elections, and then you know who gets to decide between the two? 180,000 dues-paying members of the Conservative Party. It'd be as if only dues-paying members of the Democratic Party then got to appoint the President of the United States or the Republican Party if they had the majority in Congress. This apparently has worked for them because they also have a queen, a monarch, and they have a House of Lords. They don't have a Senate like we do. Their upper house are people, some of them have had people who were dukes and earls back to the 1400s. And then there are some appointed ones and some bishops and that kind of thing. And the monarch in the House of Lords don't have as much power, obviously, as our president or our Senate. But this is not an efficient way to do government. Well, Liz Truss, she reminds me of Carrie Lake of Arizona. Carrie Lake is a right-wing nut. You know that. But did you know that in 2008, she supported Barack Obama? She was a Democrat. She was a liberal Democrat. Attractive woman, an anchor, and she realized she could make headway in the Republican Party, and she went 180. Liz Truss was a liberal member of the Labor Party. She once advocated the elimination of the monarchy. And a lot of people are increasingly doing that. Why is there a monarchy on a bloodline in the year 2022? It's not efficient. Maybe what you do is pension them, thank them, and, you know, put them out, and everybody else is equal. So she came out for that. She's a member of the Labor Party. And she was anti-Brexit. She wanted Britain to stay in the European Union. And she said anybody who felt differently was in cuckoo land. But then what happened, Brexit passed, and the Tories got triumphant. So she joined the Tory party and was sort of holier than thou. So I love the monarchy. I love Brexit. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Pick me, pick me, pick me. And she got in. She largely got in because the guy she ran against was of Indian descent. He was a very capable guy. But, you know, for a guy whose parents were from India to get elected prime minister of Britain, you know, the idea of like a Barack Obama getting in there is pretty improbable. You know, the British have at the core, you know, they're invented the concept of the WOG, that's a shorthand for Western Oriental gentleman with a fuzzy wuzzy. And they are much, they would make a Prussian, quite frankly, look liberal on the subject of race. So in any event, Liz Truss somehow slips in there. I have real trepidations about Liz Truss. I do not think she's very strong. And they are one of our major allies, and we need them. And they need us, more to the point. So stand by. I'd like to see her succeed. But she's already saying that she's Margaret Thatcher light. Well, Margaret Thatcher, that's 40 years ago, caused a lot of problems, insulted France, caused a lot of problems in Ireland. Liz Truss wants to follow her, set up a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. We got done with that 25 years ago. We don't need that again. So I hope Liz Truss, once she's in there and her ego is satisfied, remembers her roots, which were anti-Brexit and pro-Labor Party. That would be nice. That really would be nice. Stand by. I'm putting that on everybody's radar. Don't just look at stuff like this in the paper and go, oh, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. It has plenty to do with you. Plenty to do with you. We need them, the Ruskies. We need Europe to stand up to the Ruskies. So far, Boris Johnson was great about that. Hopefully, Liz Truss will be too. Hopefully, she will be too. France and Germany have been wobbly. We got to strengthen that. So there's a lot on Biden's plate and a lot on our plate historically, just taking a look at all current events. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins as usual. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. Matt Flynn, direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.